Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The Vols kick off the season tomorrow. You can hear the game right here, Vol Network, on 104.5 The Zone. Our coverage begins with the Tennessee Tailgate Show at noon. Joey is ready to go for yet another season. Jason Martin takes over the controls as the host, but he sets up the star of the show, which is Joey Kent and the weekly VFL guest, which if you want to save it for tomorrow, I can, Joey. Would you like to announce who it will be?
No, go ahead.
Peerless Price will be on the Tennessee Tailgate Show tomorrow.
I'm excited about it. I heard you guys promo, and I know I'm following Ethan Hawke. He's a big-time star. I feel like I'm a letdown. Like
No.
I heard the promo. It's like, we have Ethan Hawke, and you talked him out for 10 minutes, and you said, and then we have Joey Kent.
And then that was my promo. And then we're going to talk. Hey, there's at least one person on Twitter who's way more looking forward to you than this. Having Ethan Hawke on the day before.
How dare you make Joey wait?
For this guy on Twitter, we have Joey Kent for you.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
We've got an hour of Vols talk coming your way. 615-737-1045. Joey, I have to start with this because I saw this, knew you were coming to see you today, and I immediately thought of you. The University of Tennessee football program tweeted out last night a return to the basics.
Yes.
With the uniform.
Yes.
They are going back to the 1998 uniforms. No stripe, no frills.
Love it.
Orange uniform, black Nike cleats. Just like you wore when you were in Knoxville.
I love it. I retweeted that tweet, and I
it just said, "Who said you can't go back?"
Right.
That was the title.
I love that look. I love the black shoes. I love the white socks. I love just the traditional without the stripe on the pants, the orange jersey. I love that look. It's classic. It goes back to the time when Tennessee was really good and we were winning a lot of games. And I think Pruitt is like he likes tradition. He likes, you know, he's coming from Alabama, and Alabama obviously haven't changed their uniform in 1,000 years. And so I think he wants to get back to the tradition of Tennessee wearing the orange jersey, white pants, black shoes, white socks. I love it.
Well, and you played against Jeremy Pruitt.
I did.
When he was at Alabama. So, I mean, he remembers Tennessee then. I mean, he talks about it, but he's like, hey, when we played him, everyone feared and respected Tennessee.
We've had those conversations. I've talked to him a few times. I went up to the first practice, and we had that same conversation of he was really talking about plays, actual plays in that game in 95 and 96 and what they were thinking and what we were thinking. So it's been interesting to get to know him a little bit. He's a hands-on coach. I stayed for the entire practice, so I got a chance to see him actually coach and all the other coaches do their thing. And what impressed me about him, he's very hands-on, especially obviously with the secondary, but just all of the positions that he had his hand on. He walked around different positions, different position groups, and it's exciting to see the difference between the last era with Butch Jones and Pruitt now.
Did he bring up the play with you?
He did. He did.
The first thing he talked about?
He did. We've talked about that and laughed about it because he said, you know, they going into the game, they knew we were going to try to throw the ball because of what they did defensively up front in the front seven. It had been hard for us to run the ball initially. And so they knew we were going to throw the ball, but obviously they didn't know about that first play. And we laugh about it every time we talk to each other.
You and I, with the Tailgate Show, we would dissect all these different coaches that we've seen come through the door since you and I started that show. How many years did we do that show?
So this is the ninth year?
I think it's nine. Yeah, I was going to say nine. So this is get it wrong.
This is our fourth coach in nine years.
Yes. And
that's crazy. If you would have told me that, you know, 9 years ago when we first started this show, we're going to be on our fourth show. First of all, I wouldn't think we would be on our ninth year.
Yeah.
With the Tennessee Tailgate Show, because I came in this deal not knowing anything about radio. And thanks to you, you taught me. I still don't know a lot.
Oh, you're crushing it.
I still don't know a lot about radio, but
I'm taking
Professor
a step back. Well, I'm traveling on half of the shows anyway to the Titans away game, and I was like, why swap it up so much? Allow someone else to take the reins of the show with Joey and take it to new levels, and that's what Jason will do. But to get to my point, you have been to a lot of practices over the years with different coaches.
Sure.
aside from just the hands-on Pruitt moving around, what's different about Jeremy Pruitt's focus with this team compared to Butch Jones and others that you've seen recently?
You know, everybody talks about competition. I think he lives it. And you had four different teams going out, you know, practicing at one time. So you had the first team going against the third team, the second team going against the fourth team. All I saw was repetition, just a bunch of repetition. And those guys that had to be in shape coming into to the fall practice to keep up with his regimen. It's no way those guys could have gone through one practice if those guys didn't work hard during the summer. So competition is what he preaches. And it's something that I saw, you know, the couple of practices that I visited this fall.
Could you play for him?
Yeah. I mean, he's somebody that it's different from when I was practicing because we only had two fields. So now Tennessee has two, you know, they have three or four different fields. So you have so many different things going on. We did a lot of standing around because, you know, after the first team was done, you had to let the second team or the third team do reps. And because we only had two fields, so that's the only thing you can do. But now with three or four fields, it's so many different components of practice going on right now. It's just a lot of running. It's a lot of physicalness. I was excited and impressed to see it.
You know, it's this idea of sort of back to the basics for Tennessee with the uniforms, with everything else, with the way they're practicing. I know that Philip Fulmer, your old coach, has a lot to do with this. I also find it fascinating that it's taking a guy that's a former Alabama player that worked at Alabama to sort of come in and remind Tennessee fans what they were and what they could be again. You know, Tennessee fans will throw out, hey, top 10 all-time winning program. All these things are true, but no one's really acted like it in recent years. And I think about previous coaches, while some of them embrace tradition, they still wanted to bring in their own traditions and start new catchphrases and start new things. It's refreshing to see Jeremy Pruitt with no catchphrases, going back to the most basic of Tennessee uniforms when they're dominant, and a guy who played against Tennessee at a dominant time sort of returning to that. And maybe it took a guy from Alabama that understands tradition and knows what Tennessee was to do that. And I never thought I would say that about where Tennessee is right now, but it seems to be the case.
Yeah, one thing I got from him when I sat down with him, that he respects the program. And he respects the tradition and the players that came from the past. He knows about Tennessee tradition. He's coached against Tennessee for a long time, too. He's played in this conference. He's coached in this conference. He's won championships with Alabama. He knows what good's supposed to look like. He knows what good players are supposed to look like. And that's what you're seeing with his recruiting. Now, he's recruiting big guys that can run. SEC football, you need big guys. You need big guys that can move around. You can see from the defensive line, offensive line that he's putting together, from his secondary guys, he's putting together a big team, big physical team. And that's what Tennessee football has always been about. It's about being physical, have a little speed and playing the kicking game. I like that he's bringing that back to Tennessee, and he understands what Tennessee football is all about.
This is the fourth time in 5 years that West Virginia has opened up against a Power 5 opponent. Tennessee opens up on a neutral field against West Virginia. Do you like the opener to kind of set the stage for where they are, or would you prefer something else?
I think that was Dave Hartsdale. He wanted them to kind of get the national exposure. In my opinion, I'd rather have a home game or a home-and-home game because, you know, you can never take that opportunity away from playing in Neyland Stadium. That's a special place, and those guys get one less opportunity to do that.
You think Philip Fulmer will get back to that?
I would hope so. I would think so. I just don't remember us playing a lot of, and obviously things are different from 20 years since I was there. But I think Tennessee should be playing more home games and get away from those kickoff passes. But the good thing about it, Tennessee has won their last nine season openers. So that bodes well for Tennessee, but obviously they're going against a formidable opponent with West Virginia. Country road.
Song you will not hear tomorrow on the Tennessee Tailgate Show. Midday with 80 served up by Wendy.
We hope. Hutton's no longer in control of that show, though, right, so who knows?
He's got a Bama fan.
Yeah, we got a Bama fan.
I'm really excited about Jason.
He'll crush it.
You know, I'm happy for Jason. He's come a long way, and he's come back and found his way back to this station, and I'm happy for all of his success.
You going to let him say Roll Tide on there?
No. That's not going to happen.
Can we get J-Mart to denounce his Alabama fandom?
Oh, if you want,
I tried before, I try. He said
he has no real tie. I mean, we've discussed this ad nausea, but he can easily do away with it.
But he's a professional, so he does
it. If anyone can pull it off, Joey can pull it off. If you want to see Joey Kent angry, it's Alabama week where Alabama wins big.
That's very true. That's very true.
I've seen it a few times. Florida, but it's mainly Alabama with you.
We've had some interesting moments because, you know, when we first started this show, Tennessee obviously wasn't very good. And so we did a lot of post-game shows, too.
I remember listening to those post-game
shows. Yes. Yeah. So Hutton and I would just come on the show, he'll introduce and whatnot, and then we'll just say react and just open the phones and just let people just rip. And it used to be so funny.
I remember sitting,
Kentucky game.
We were at Twin Peaks, I think. Twin Peaks, T. Martin was on the phone.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Kentucky just won with a wide receiver at quarterback.
And so I called T. Martin, and I was like, this is right after the game. This is maybe 2.5 hours after the game. So I was like, hey, T, do you mind coming on the show, you know, just kind of talk about the victory? You know, Tennessee hasn't lost to Kentucky in 100 years. And he's like, sure. And so we asked him about Kentucky's offensive philosophy for that game. It was like, you know, really when the receiver went to quarterback, we only ran about 4 or 5 plays and we just kind of changed the formation and we just ran 4 or 5 plays and it just hurt me, man.
Oh.
I mean, he was just so matter of fact about it though, Chad. He was like, oh, we only ran about 4 or 5 plays and we beat Tennessee.
All right, T. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. See you. See you, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Just cut him off right there. I remember so many post game shows where it would be so bad for Tennessee.
Right.
Hutton would ask Joey a question and always just start with, man. The turnovers, man, that was not good.
Or you asked me the keys to the game and I would have to list maybe 10 of them. Like, they need to do this, they need to do that. They have to recover a punt. They need to know penalties. They need to have a pick six.
Prayer.
Right. I mean, it was 10 different things I would have to say for them to win.
Well, and as we kind of talk about this team and what to expect in the West Virginia game, Hutton, you've said this a lot. It's not if you win, it's how you look.
No. It's not if you lose, it's how you lose.
Yeah, how you lose in the games. But it's also, to me, 6 wins is an important barrier.
Yes.
If they could get to 6 wins, it's a success. Anything below that's a failure. But there is something to be said for how this team looks. Starting tomorrow. I mean, this game against West Virginia, starting tomorrow, even if they don't win, how they look in this game, what's something you're looking at, Joey, to watch this team to know that, hey, they're being coached at a higher level right now?
I think you can just look to the deep defensive side of the ball. You know, that's Pruitt's expertise, right? So you want to see that they're disciplined. You know what type of style of defense that Pruitt wants to play? Whether or not he can play it at Tennessee this year is yet to be seen. You know he wants to pressure with the front seven. He wants to man up on the outside, bump and run the receivers, and he wants to create chaos with the safeties. I think we have some type of personnel to do that. The front seven is going to be an interesting mix because we have some really good frontline players, the starters. But after that, we don't know what we're going to get. We have a junior college player that we talked about during the break, Emerson, that we saw on Last Chance U.
Yeah, Emmett Gooden.
Emmett
Gooden. Emerson's another player that came in from Jackson, Tennessee.
So we're going to see what that front seven looks like. Playing in the SEC, you can't just play with 4 or 5 guys. You have to have at least 6, 7, or 8 guys that can play effectively. So, first off, just defensively, I want to see what they look like. Offensively, it's an unknown because you have Tyson Helton that's coming in from USC. You don't know whether or not how much input he had with the play calling at USC. We don't know what this offense is going to look like. But I think that bodes well for Tennessee because obviously West Virginia doesn't know either. I'm excited that they're bringing the fullback back. And they're bringing the tight end to the forefront. I feel like they're going to throw the ball down the field a little bit more. We've been preaching and begging for that for the last, 9, 10 years for them to throw the ball down the field, play action. I think that's something they're going to do. But obviously it starts up front. Trey Smith is, you know, the leader up front. I'm glad he's back and he's healthy. He brings a physical attitude and a toughness to that team. The transfer center from Alabama, I think he's going to help that team too because he's been in these battles. He's had experience. He lost his job through the injury and a better player down there. But he's a starter for us. And I think he's going to bring another element to this team that's going to bring that physical attitude back.
Will Greer passed for at least 300 yards 9 times last season.
Yeah.
Big 12 newcomer of the year at West Virginia. What do you expect to see on the outside with the freshman corners going up against Will Grier in West Virginia's offense?
Well, start off with Sills. He's the All-American candidate. He's a Biletnikoff Award. He's on that list as well. He's a big-time guy. He's 6'4", about 210. He's a former quarterback. He caught 18 touchdown passes last year, but only three of them were longer than 50 yards. So he's a red zone guy. I'm excited to see what these young corners are going to do. I heard a lot about Alante Taylor. I met him a couple of times and he's very confident. Sam Berger, he's back there. We have a lot of guys in the mix. Buchanan is another guy I'm excited to see. He was in the doghouse last year with Bush Jones. I'm excited to see him. But from what I saw in practice, the two times I saw it, they competed and it's a little bit different defense. It's obviously a style of defense that they played last year. Last year, they were kind of laid back and let things come to them. I think that Tennessee this year is going to force the issue. They're going to challenge the guys outside. I don't think Pruitt is scared to put a freshman or a newcomer out there. You've seen that in the past and it's, you know, at Georgia, Florida State, Alabama. He's not scared. The best players are going to play and he's going to teach them up and coach them up. And that's what Tennessee needs.
Phone lines are open. If you've got a question about the Tennessee-West Virginia game, give us a call. 615-737-1045. 737-1045. You mentioned Alante Taylor and meeting him. Does he sort of fit the mold of what Jeremy Pruitt wants at corner moving forward? A little bit bigger of a guy, more physical? Because we know he's going to want to play a lot of man coverage.
Yeah, I think so. I think he wants length. He wants height. Alante has long arms. He's confident. I don't know if he knows what he's getting himself into, right? So at the element of surprise for him is just going out there and competing. I think he likes guys that want to compete, and he came in competing from the time he stepped on campus to where he is right now, and that's the reason why he's considered a starter coming, you know, against West Virginia, against a good wide receiver core of West Virginia. That they not only have Seals, they have two other guys that are very explosive, Sims, Jennings, or two other guys that West Virginia has that are very explosive, caught a bunch of balls. They have an up-tempo offense, man. They try to run about 70, 75 plays per game. They try to spread you out formation-wise. They stack receivers. They run trips. But they like to run the ball too. I mean, they run the ball in between the tackles. So it is a high up-tempo offense, but they have the element of run as well. So that makes that offense so potent.
What do you know about Taylor in terms of what you expect in terms of his bounce back ability? Obviously, any corner's got to have it, but a freshman corner, first game, if they hit on him a couple times early, the big question's going to be, you know, can he get past it?
That's kind of hard to tell because obviously he played both sides in high school, but his preferred position was receiver, and that's what he came in expecting to play. But one thing I know about him is that he does not lack confidence, and so obviously, when you have a big plays are going to be made throughout the game on both sides. And as a corner, you have to forget about it. And whether or not he's able to do that, we don't know. But it feels like Coach Pruitt is so confident in that guy. For him to allow him to start or potentially start the first game against this receiving corps of West Virginia, that speaks loudly for him.
Joey Kent is in studio with us. Can this group be too excited to get things going tomorrow? Can they be too amped for this game? And here's where I'm going with this. Nearly 12 months ago, when we actually felt like the locker room was together and they were playing meaningful football, everyone pulling in the same direction. It was the UMass game where they hung on for the win and then got destroyed a week later by Georgia 41-0. And then from there was a lot of turmoil behind the scenes. What are you expecting from this group now where it seems like Pruitt has everyone? No one left the program.
Right.
Everyone's pulling in the same direction again.
I think they trust the coaching staff, and it starts up top with Pruitt. They have a bunch of guys, a bunch of coaches, and I know a couple of them. I played with one with Terry Ferry, coaches on the secondary, that they've won, and they know what they're talking about. They're teachers and developers, and that's what Tennessee has. That's what Tennessee has needed over the last, 9-10 years. You know, we've had some good coaches that come through. I'm not going to take anything away from some of the coaching staffs that was there previously. But the coaching staffs that they have now, they're great recruiters and they're great teachers. And that's what I saw when I visited practice a few weeks ago.
Joey Kent with us. Time to go to the phones. Mark, lead us off. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Yeah. I am a WVU grad. Love Tennessee, but watch the Mountaineers a lot, so I want to flip this back on you guys a little bit here. Do you think that UT has the passing game WVU really struggled with their secondary last year. Do you think UT can take advantage, and have they made enough changes between last year and this year to put pressure on them in the passing game?
That's a great question. It kind of remains to be seen because we didn't see Garantano. I presume he's going to be the starter. We didn't see him able to display his arm a lot last year. Again, with this new offense, I think we're going to throw the ball a little bit more. We're going to have a lot of more play action formations and different formations that's going to help him facilitate him throwing the ball down the field a little bit more. I think we have some explosive receivers. We have Callaway. We have Jennings. We all know those guys, but we have Johnson. We have four or five guys that can catch the ball down the field and have explosive plays. And so I'm excited to see what they're going to do. I'm just like everybody else. I don't know what this offense is going to look like, but I know it's going to be a little bit different from last year. They're going to get under center a little bit more. The spread option is still going to be, the read option is still going to be there. But I think they're going to be able to open up the offense a little bit more from what I've seen over the last couple of practices.
You know, everyone's asking about Jeremy Pruitt, and I know more about Jeremy Pruitt than I know about Tyson Helton. Tyson Helton's making $1.25 million to be the head coach of that offense.
Yeah.
Guy's never really been a full-time play caller. You know, he called some plays at USC. We know Jeff Brohm's offense. He comes from sort of that family tree. But it is difficult to know what to expect. I mean, there's a lot of pressure riding on this guy to get it right pretty quickly in Knoxville. And he's got some talent at receiver, Joey. What do you think about some of the targets out there with the receivers and maybe what they could do with a more sophisticated passing offense, which we know we're at least going to see that based on what we saw a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He is the head coach of the offense because Pruitt is, he's going to call the defense, right? He's going to be a defensive coordinator this year, at least for this year. So it bodes well for Tyson Helton because he has all the responsibility, right? So we've seen what USC is able to do for the last 3 or 4 years with, you know, T. Martin as the offensive coordinator and Helton as the head coach. I've liked what I've seen out of them. I've seen a lot of USC because of T and following that program. They like to throw the ball down the field. They like play action. They do a little bit of zone reading, depending on the quarterback. And I think Garantano is able to do that because he's a pretty good athlete, but I would love to see him show off his arm a little bit more. I think we need explosive plays to beat West Virginia. West Virginia is going to put some points on the board. And whether or not Tennessee has more points at the end of the game, I don't know. But I'm excited to see what Tennessee's offense looks like.
The Midday 180 wants to hear your primary complaint. Presented by Dr. Gill Center for back, neck, and chronic pain relief. Wednesdays at 1:20 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Joey Kent in studio with us. You can catch him and Jason Martin tomorrow at noon. Kicks off our coverage of Tennessee and West Virginia. The Tennessee Tailgate Show every Saturday, every game day, here on 104.5 The Zone. Joey, are you surprised Jerick Garantano won this quarterback job? They haven't said that, but I mean.
Yeah, I'm not. Just hearing everything that came out this summer and this fall. Talked to a lot of people up there that is really connected to the program that's seen him throughout the summer, this fall. I think he took the challenge. He knew Keller was coming in and really competing for that job. And I think Pruitt told Keller that, hey, you have an opportunity here. And I think Garantano took that to heart, took over that team. Led that team, and I think the team has gravitated toward him. I think both will play. This season is long, and you know, with the protection issues that we've had in the past, he's probably going to have some type of injury at some point. You know, hopefully it's not anything major, but I think both will play.
What's it like as a player if they play two quarterbacks? Is it tough? Is it a tough adjustment series to series?
It depends on the style of quarterbacks. If they're like totally different styles, that can be an issue. Sometimes it's right-hander and a left-hander, the way the ball comes out of the quarterback's hand. It just depends on the different styles of the quarterback. And I think those two are similar because Keller, he's pretty athletic. And obviously we've seen what Garantano's were able to do this or last season. I think they're very similar quarterbacks in height and how they throw the ball.
I thought about a story you would tell often whenever they were discussing, we would have Austin Price on, he's discussing the battle between Crist and Garantano. And I'm thinking, Joey would tell me that this is sometimes whenever he was practicing during the week, the practices were more competitive than the actual games were. Tennessee's trying to get back to that. Not anywhere close to that yet. But that's the type of mentality they want to have. Someone's looking over the shoulder, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's where recruiting comes in. And again, I can't give enough credit to this staff. Look at what they've done over the last year, or less than a year, that since they've been on the Tennessee staff, of getting guys that they want to have on campus and actually having those guys commit. Obviously, we still have a few months before December and February before they're able to sign, but to get the guys that they've gotten so far, the size and the quality of the guys, they're trying to build something at Tennessee and trying to get to, like what Chad said, something that resembles back in the 90s and the early 2000s of big guys that can run and can move and are physical.
615-737-1045 if you want to jump in with a Tennessee West Virginia question for Joey Kent. 737-1045.
Glenn, welcome in.
Gentlemen, it's football time in Tennessee.
It is indeed.
This is a game that's, to me as a Tennessee fan, more intriguing first game in a long time. And I say that because we have no idea what to expect defensively or offensively. Now, we have a better idea defensively, but as you guys have pointed out, we have no idea offensively. I guess the thing I wanted to bring up, Joey, and you said something earlier that just really kind of fascinated me, and it made sense. Defensively, we're going to be more aggressive and attack more than we have in previous years. My question to you in that regard is, how important is it going to be, since our secondary is going to be a little young, for this defensive front to get pressure on Greer? To me, that's one of the most important things that could happen tomorrow in order for Tennessee to win this game and B, to keep it close, is for the front seven to be able to get pressure on him, because as we know, I think he was one of the worst Power 5 quarterbacks in the country last year when he was forced to deal with pressure. So how important is that? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, obviously it's extremely important. You look at, Coach Pruitt's stops before. They have blitzes and everybody runs games and all that good stuff, but a lot of times those guys were better than their owners, right? And we have some quality guys there on the defensive front, D-line, linebackers, but we're going to have some movement. We have to have some blitzes to get pressure on Greer. The thing about Greer, though, he's played in the SEC before. He's beaten Tennessee before. He's not going to be intimidated by our size and speed. He is a really good quarterback in the pocket. He can maneuver around. He can make all the throws. It'll be really interesting to see how our senior-led defensive line competes this game. Combo is transitioning back to a linebacker. We have Kyle Phillips that's been there for, 4 years, and he's seen a lot of football. Alexis Johnson has seen a lot of football. Shy Tuttle has seen a lot of football. It's going to be interesting to see how they react to West Virginia splits. They like to split out their offensive linemen. They try to create holes for their running backs through formation. It's going to be interesting to see how they react to West Virginia's offense.
Well, and maybe the biggest recruiting job that Jeremy Pruitt did was getting Darren Kirkland Jr. to not transfer. And on top of that, didn't really lose any transfers.
Right.
I mean, they've got a full roster of guys now, and they have bodies out there, even though there's a lot of newcomers. They've got bodies. I don't know how quality of the depth is, but when you look at that defense, Daniel Batuli, Darren Kirkland Jr. possibly in the middle.
Yeah, Sapp as well.
And Sapp, yeah. How big, though, is Darren Kirkland Jr. if he can be healthy? And I know he's been a little banged up.
That's the biggest question, Chad. We don't know how healthy he is. He sat out a full week of preseason practice or fall practice last week or a couple weeks ago. We don't know how healthy he is. We know what type of player he is. And when he's healthy, he's very effective. But I like Batuli. We saw that he is a sideline-to-sideline linebacker. He's very physical at the point of attack. Sapp has done a good job. He's done some good things at Tennessee. So we have experience there. That's going to be a big part of our defense. And obviously, if we can get pressure in the front seven, that's going to help the secondary out. It's going to help our young corners out. So I think the key to our success defensively is, like you said, create pressure on the, you know, in the front seven and let those corners do what they do on the outside. They're going to man up. They're going to bump those guys. I saw a lot of bump and run when I went up for the practices, and the technique they were teaching, the same techniques that he taught at Alabama, Georgia, Florida State, and they had some really good players there. Do we have the same players at Tennessee right now? We have a few. We have some. And so that excites me that we're going to be more aggressive defensively versus what we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years.
Chad, chime in on this as well. Are you guys more confident that Pruitt being there will help out the run defense tomorrow, or that Tennessee is really going to be able to establish the run against West Virginia?
I'm more confident that Shy Tuttle is back, honestly, yeah. if he's healthy. I mean, to me, it's more about bodies, and that defense was so banged up a year ago. That was a big part of it. But I think naturally I am more confident in Jeremy Pruitt and that staff. Let's not underrate that defensive staff. Their ability to coach
Tracy Walker,
run-stopping defense, yeah. I have much more confidence in that group. I have much more confidence in the guys that we're going to see, and you said it, Joey, starting with that senior-led defensive line.
Yeah, and you have Tracy Walker, who is coaching that defensive line. He was a stud player in the SEC. He's coached at a lot of big-time programs, and I think he's a hands-on type of guy, a hands-on type of coach, and I think they're going to learn a lot from just him and what he's done in his previous stops.
What do you guys expect tomorrow? I'll let you give the final score prediction tomorrow on tailgate, yep. But I've heard from Vols fans. If you ask, I've got friends. I'm not talking about Chad here. If I ask some of
Chad's,
my friends,
Chad's not a friend.
Well, no, he's a great friend. He's a great friend.
We're mortal enemies. We hate each other.
I'm not taking a shot at Chad though.
Shutting is a myth. We actually hate each other.
He would not be included in this. Yeah. But I've got Vols friends who, if I asked them a month ago what they expected, they were hopeful that this would be a close game. Okay, like that we're going to play them close. That's what they would tell me. Now they've convinced themselves they're winning.
Right.
So what are you going into it with that mindset? Do you think that Tennessee will compete with West Virginia?
I do. We just have to keep them under 30 points. When they get over 30 points,
it's a big F.
I know. I mean, they're highly successful. I read the stat earlier on the day, and I just can't remember what that is. But if you keep them under 30, which is hard to do, I mean, because the offense that they run, we should be okay. Whether or not Tennessee does that, I don't know. I do. I convinced myself too, Hutt, that Tennessee is going to win.
Of course you have.
I mean, I have. I have. I've been, you know, pretty good as far as.
Well, a month ago, you would say they're going to win a month ago, so you don't count in this category.
No, I haven't been a Tennessee homer that much over the last 9 years. I have.
No, you're true.
I have to a certain point, but these last 4 or 5 years made a believer on me. I need to be. Not have these orange colored glasses on, but I made a believer
in futility.
Yeah.
I now believe in failures of Tennessee football.
Right.
Firm believer.
Right. But I have convinced myself that Tennessee does have a really good chance to win this game because of the unknown offensively and the style of defense that we're going to play under Pruitt.
There is a route for Tennessee to win this game. Mm-hmm. There is a path to do it. There's a way they can do it. They are capable of doing it. I just don't see them following that path. And I think part of that path is you really rely on quick pressure and Will Grier making two or three critical errors. And I don't know that you can count on that with a guy who could win the Heisman Trophy. It's tough when you're going into game thinking, you better get quick pressure on Will Grier, and his quick read better lead to a pick six or two. That's what needs to happen for Tennessee to win this game.
Why are you not in Charlotte?
Tennessee tailgate show.
Yeah. I have to work, man.
That's never stopped him before.
That's true. He wanted
to be here with Jason Martin
there you
his
go.
First time.
There you go. We're starting a new era. Jason is taking the torch from you.
And please, let me answer for Joey. I'm his representative now. Mr. Kent wanted to be here for the first ever show with Jason Martin. He thought that was vitally important for the success long term.
There you go.
By the way, Jason Martin, who I just kicked out of this room in here with me because we were having discussion. Brendan and I were having an argument over the better fight song.
Oh,
Country Roads or Rocky Top?
Oh,
that's not even close because Rocky
only
Top.
Only way to win is not to play.
Rocky Top is actually about the state of Tennessee, where Country Roads
yes,
is not about the western West Virginia.
Chad, I have a question for you because we've had this debate before on the show. Are you a wooer? Like on the Rocky Top, do you woo? Depends on how much you.
Yeah.
It depends on the if you're winning, loser, drink.
I will say.
Are you a wooer?
Go ahead, Chad. At one point, I was a wooer, and then I was shamed out of wooing, so I don't woo anymore.
Wow. That's a revelation. Wow. That was a good question, Joe.
I no longer woo. I was presented with the facts of the argument, and I ended up agreeing with that argument. I said, you know what? Needs to go.
So you're going to tell, you're going to the game. You're going to tailgate tomorrow, presumably.
Yes.
You might have.
Go on.
You might have some liquid or two.
Yep.
And if he'll have a bladder taped to his crotch when he goes to the stage.
And if we're winning and the song comes on, would you woo?
No.
Yes, he would.
Not anymore.
Look at Jet.
Not anymore.
I don't believe you.
When
he answered that question, he was looking down to the left. He couldn't even look at me in the eye.
Down to the left. Down and to the left.
He didn't even look at me in the eye.
I was like
looking down.
Reed, do you woo?
I do not woo, but I don't mind it like I used to.
Does Lindsay woo?
If it's
is that
stadium,
because your new wife woos?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
I don't mind it like I used to before my wife was doing it.
But no, Brandon and I were debating Country Roads or Rocky Top, and then Jason Martin said Sweet Home Alabama, and I had to kick him out of the game.
Kindly leave, sir.
That's not what I said.
I do a masculine woo. I was like, woo.
Oh.
Like that.
I hate to hear your feminine. Wait.
It's like, woo. I'm sorry.
Now he's Barry White.
Here's Billy. Good old Rocky Top.
Woo.
Rocky Top 10. And he goes right back into the Rocky Top.
Ooh. Joey, thank you for the time, man.
Yep.
It's football season.
I'm excited about the Tennessee Tailgate Show. We'll be on at 12 o'clock Central tomorrow on 104.5 The Zone.
Exciting times.
Follow Joey on Twitter, @JoeyKent.